Welcome to the March 29th, 2019 edition of the Crypto.IQ Daily Radio Show, where we do a deep dive market analysis every day and talk about the biggest stories in the Bitcoin and crypto space. This is your host, Space Marine, live from space. So there's some really good news this morning. Bitcoin finally broke through that $4,000 resistance level, believe it or not. So overnight, right around midnight, Bitcoin had a rally. Well, first, actually, around 8 or 9 p.m., Bitcoin rallied to like 4,035, and then it was pushed back. It looked like the beginning of a short squeeze, but it got pushed back just like all the other attempts. And then around midnight, there was an even bigger attempt. Bitcoin rallied pretty sharply to 4,050, and then it crashed really quick down to 4,010. And then around 3 in the morning to 4 in the morning, Bitcoin went up to 4,050 again, and then once again it went down. So that resistance is really strong at 4,000. It was. It took a lot of attempts going into the $4,000 level to finally break it. Basically, each time Bitcoin goes up into the $4,000 resistance level, which is more like between 4,000 and 4,060, it weakened the level because it takes out a lot of the sell orders in that layer that's holding Bitcoin down. And then the final attempt that actually worked was at 5 a.m., and it looks like a short squeeze. So right around 5 a.m., the price of Bitcoin rapidly rose in about 10 or 15 minutes from 4,030 to 4,080 or so, and then it kept on going up to a peak of just over 4,100 by around 8 a.m. And currently Bitcoin's around 4,080, but it looks like it's solidly above that $4,000 level. It's not declining back to 4,000 right now. It's just steady at 4,080, so this is very good news. Since March 15th, which is like a full 2 weeks, Bitcoin was totally stifled by the $4,000 resistance level. So now all eyes turn towards $4,200, which is the long-term resistance level that has been in place since December. And it's not quite exactly at $4,200. It was on around February, like late February, February 22nd or February 23rd. Bitcoin went up to $4,190 before it was pushed back very sharply down to like $3,700, which is a critical support level. Well, looking backwards even more, Bitcoin has gone up as high as 4,236 in late December. And that's how long this long-term resistance level has been in place, since December. So this $4,200 resistance level probably lies between like $4,200 and $4,300. So all eyes are on this layer now. If Bitcoin could break through the $4,200 resistance level, we could be talking about a serious Bitcoin rally and crypto bull run. And based on how long it took to get through 3,900 and how long it took to get through 4,200, it'll probably take some time. But if you look since early February, Bitcoin has been on a very strong uptrend, and this coincides with the exponential moving average, EMA, of Bitcoin rising for the first time since the crash in November. So this is very good news we're seeing this morning, and the long-term trend since early February looks quite positive. We do have a shot at breaking through 4,200, and then we could be talking about a bull run all the way up to like where it used to be at like 6,000. I think that's quite possible if we can get through 4,200. But we're going to have to wait and see how Bitcoin responds. It's probably going to have to go through a lot of resistance. There's probably a tremendous amount of shorts above Bitcoin's price right now, from 4,100 all the way up through 4,300. But maybe there could be some sort of epic short squeeze. And a short squeeze basically is when a short order is closed, it has to be covered by buying Bitcoin. So when a short order is closed, Bitcoin is bought, and that causes Bitcoin's price to rise, and that might cause other short orders to get closed, causing more Bitcoin to get bought, and causing Bitcoin's price to rise even more, and it kind of turns into a feedback loop that could happen really quick. Like, we see short squeezes happen within the course of, like, minutes, basically. Like, if you see a really powerful short squeeze, you could see a price jump of hundreds of dollars within an hour. Hopefully we get that. It's possible. There's a lot of short orders concentrated just above Bitcoin's price. And if we see like a really aggressive short squeeze, it could go up through that. And we're just going to have to wait and see. So somewhat surprisingly, the price of other major cryptocurrencies is not really rallying this morning. It's quite mixed. And what happened is, after midnight, the crypto market actually crashed a bit. So the market cap was at $143.5 billion, and it went down all the way to $141.5 billion. And since Bitcoin was not the one going down and causing this, it indicates that other major cryptocurrencies really went bearish overnight after like about 2 or 3 a.m. And that might have been because Bitcoin was getting pushed back multiple times. Like, we talked about how Bitcoin tried to get through $4,000 multiple times overnight and got pushed back. Well, apparently that caused some bearish sentiment, and the price of cryptos crashed to like $141.5 billion, the total crypto market cap. But once Bitcoin rallied, the market cap's back to $143.5 billion. But major cryptocurrencies are not really that bullish this morning. They're mostly mixed. So Ethereum is up 0.5%, Ripple's down 0.3%, EOS is up 1%, Litecoin is down 0.4%, Bitcoin Cash is down 0.6%, Binance Coin is down 2.1%, Stellar is up 0.6%, Cardano is up 3.9%. So Cardano is one of the only cryptos we're seeing this morning that's reacting quite positively to Bitcoin breaking through 4,000. They all are, but basically what happened is they declined a lot in the early morning hours before sunrise in the eastern United States. So there was some sort of a crypto crash in the early morning hours. And then when Bitcoin rallied through 4,000, it kind of like recovered most of the losses from that crash for the other cryptos. But there's a lot of them are still down. So that shows how close we came to a really bearish day. Like that could have just progressed into a very bearish day and Bitcoin could have slid below 4,000 again. But instead, Bitcoin rallied above that $4,000 resistance level for the first time since it was in place 2 weeks ago. Tron is down like almost nothing. It's down 0.03%. Bitcoin SV down 0.5%. Monero down 2.4%. IOTA up 0.7%. And Dash is doing pretty good this morning too, up 2.7%. And hopefully, maybe once traders wake up around the world and they see that Bitcoin has rallied above the $4,000 resistance level, maybe we could see a rally in the rest of the major cryptocurrencies as well. If we can get the other major cryptocurrencies to rally, that could help Bitcoin start pushing upwards and start battling that $4,200 resistance level. Oh yeah, Dogecoin. I always mention Dogecoin on this show. It's up like nothing. It's up 0.02%. So Dogecoin's pretty flat. So there is one crypto that is doing like tremendously well this morning. It's Tezos. It's up 19%. And this is our first news story of the day. So Coinbase has launched a staking service for Tezos for institutional investors. And I think this is amazing how far we've come. Like, back in the day, proof of stake was a novel thing. And it was only done by, like, real enthusiasts, like crypto enthusiasts on their computers. Now we literally have an institutional service for staking from Coinbase. So, like, people with, like, a ton of money could just stake coins. And that's, like, a big shift in the industry from being on personal computers to being, like, people with, like, millions, hundreds of millions of dollars being able to stake Tezos through Coinbase. And apparently, there's an 8% yield for Tezos, and that doesn't mean there's 8% profits in terms of USD. That means in terms of Tezos, they get 8% more Tezos per year. But often when you see a proof-of-stake coin with a high yield rate, that causes the USD price of the coin to go down long-term because of like inflation, basically. Well, anyways, Coinbase is taking a 20% fee from this 8% yield, leaving like a 6% yield. I would have to crunch the numbers to see if that's profitable, and it probably changes all the time anyways. Because, like I said, often proof-of-stake cryptos are declining long-term, so maybe that 2% that Coinbase is taking out might be, like, the difference between losses and profits for the customers. I don't know, I'm just speculating. Well, anyways, Tezos has reacted very well to this news. They're up 19%, like I said. So people that were mining Tezos have done very well now, because at least this morning there is no signs of like devaluation from inflation for Tezos. It's up 19%, so that's a really significant gain. It's up to 19 on CoinMarketCap, $574 million market cap. And this could be an increasing trend. They've started with Tezos on Coinbase, and they'll probably add some more proof-of-stake coins because this went so well. Because Coinbase was adding major cryptocurrencies to their actual exchange like Ripple and Stellar, and those cryptocurrencies barely got any gains from getting listed on the exchange. But lo and behold, they announced that they're launching a service to stake Tezos, and Tezos has that huge rally that we would expect from Coinbase. So Coinbase might be really interested in adding some more proof-of-stake cryptocurrencies to the service, because apparently it could cause a huge rally. One thing I want to clarify, though, is that people could stake Tezos at home. Like, you do not need Coinbase to stake Tezos. You could have the full Tezos wallet, like the full node wallet, and just keep it online and keep your Tezos in the wallet, and you get that full 8% and no one takes any fee from you. Well, institutional investors apparently like to have their coins held in custody and kind of like insured, and like they don't even want to deal with it themselves because I guess they're busy people investing in lots of different things. But this Coinbase service, so that's good for the institutional investors that Coinbase is doing this, because now institutional investors can easily say, okay, I want to stake some coins, and then they could do it in the way they like to do it. But for people at home, you don't need to use like any sort of service. You could just do it. You'd need to download like the full, like the core wallet for a proof of stake cryptocurrency. You keep your coins in the wallet, and then you keep that wallet online. And then since you're helping the network function by keeping your node online, they pay you with the stake dividends. Moving on to the next story of the day. So Jihan Wu, which is the co-founder of Bitmain, and he recently stepped down from being the co-CEO, but he still holds like a board of directors position in the company, and his voice is still very loud and influential. He's beating the war drum against Ethereum, actually. So Ethereum has voted, like the community voted, to implement Prague POW because there's a sentiment in the community that the ASIC miners are taking away all the profits from the GPU miners, and then the GPU miners are saying that the ASICs are centralizing the network. Well, Jihan Wu thinks quite the opposite. He says that ASICs actually represent a decentralizing force because the GPUs are strongly protected by patents, and it makes it takes the competition away from the marketplace for mining when you try to ban the ASICs. And that's probably what Satoshi would think. Really, there should be no regulations or protocols put in place to stop any sort of mining equipment. Whatever's the best mining equipment should be allowed in a decentralized world. Well, Ethereum has been getting a little more centralized. The developers have a lot of pull, and the community is like asking for certain things, and the developers have most of the power, though. But anyways, they have collectively decided, let's ban the ASICs by putting Prague POW in place. And then Jihan Wu also says, well, GPU-based mining algorithms are, like, quite comparable to each other and compatible. And so miners can attack one cryptocurrency, and then they could mine other cryptocurrencies anyways. And he says he believes GPU-based cryptocurrencies are more susceptible to 51% attacks. That's also quite true, because cryptocurrencies that are popular that have ASIC mining have a really high hash rate, making it hard to 51% attack. But if you get rid of the ASIC miners and you only have GPUs, the hash rate gets very low. And then someone with like a tremendous GPU farm, or even just renting hash rate for GPUs, could like literally attack a cryptocurrency. It's actually happened. Well, he's beating the war drum for real. He says that he believes that Prague POW will one day have ASIC mining anyways. So he's basically saying, yeah, here at Bitmain, we're going to like create ASICs for Prague POW. You could do whatever you want. You could keep changing it to be more ASIC resistant, but we're so good that we're going to release ASICs for your ASIC resistant algorithm. And this has happened over and over. Every single algorithm that I've seen so far, eventually, even if it's designed to be ASIC resistant, it has ASICs released for it eventually. Like that happened with like Zcash, just for one example. And he also is beating the war drum against Cuckoo Cycle, which is for Grin and the Mimblewimble cryptocurrency protocol. So Mimblewimble is a cryptocurrency type that was released recently with Grin and Beam, two separate cryptocurrencies. And they claim to be totally ASIC resistant, but here's Jihan Wu, the co-founder of Bitmain, saying, we're probably going to have ASICs for Cuckoo Cycle eventually. So one of the big attractions of Mimblewimble and Grin and Beam is that it's for GPU miners, but that might not last forever. And he's saying Prague POW, it sounds like they're probably almost already working on making ASICs for Prague POW. So, yeah, that's what's happened. You can make an algorithm that's ASIC resistant, supposedly, but pretty much ASICs could be built for any algorithm. So Jihan Wu is saying that, first off. Second off, he's saying that trying to ban the ASICs is a centralized way of doing things. And then he talks about Ethereum moving to proof of stake, and this is something I've discussed numerous times on this show and in articles on crypto.iq. So he's saying proof of stake is really centralized compared to like proof of work mining, and he thinks it's a bad move by Ethereum to try to go to proof of stake. I totally agree with him. That would be very centralized. Mining is like a way of voting. So the miners have like a vote on what the cryptocurrency will be, and if you get rid of the proof of work miners, then basically the developers have 100% power. And the Ethereum developers have indicated that's what they want. So they started with the Constantinople hard fork. They slashed the block reward from 3 Ether to 2 Ether, even though the mining community was doing pretty poorly anyways because of Ethereum's collapse in price. So they're trying to scare away the miners, and then they're going to implement Prague POW in their next update. And then, which would really ruin the ASIC miners and the mining community in general. And then they're saying they're going to go to Serenity maybe in like a year or two, or maybe never. It depends on how things progress. But Ethereum developers' plan is to go to proof of stake. This would make Ethereum quite centralized, and hopefully it doesn't happen. There's going to be a lot of debate before that happens, and it's going to take a long time for that to happen if it happens, and we'll know it's coming, so we'll keep you updated on that. But here we have Jihan Wu beating the war drums against these developers who think they have the power to centralize a cryptocurrency. Jihan Wu is saying, no, you cannot. I'm going to make sure it's decentralized. I'm going to develop the ASICs for Prague POW. So, you know, you guys are kind of wasting your time with this whole argument. Moving on to another Bitmain-related story. So they say they're going to release their 7-nanometer chips by the end of the year. And I remember months ago they announced that they had created them. And I guess it was in, like, the research and development mode. And it still is. But by the end of the year, it'll roll out for commercial use for all the miners that want it. There was some companies like GMO Internet who created 7-nanometer chips first. But I think GMO Internet went out of business, actually. So Bitmain's still the top dog despite all the bad things that happened to Bitmain during the bear market and them losing lots of money. They're still here and probably the strongest one. And they're trying basically to release the 7-nanometer chip before the block halving for Bitcoin in May 2020. Because when a Bitcoin block halving happens, it really decreases the amount of supply on the market. Because Bitcoin miners pretty much constantly dump their mining revenue all the time because they need to in order to pay electricity and for the little bit of profit they get. So the mining stream of, like, the blocks that are being mined and the block rewards is constantly, like, pushing down on the market, but that's going to be cut in half in May 2020. And we've seen during each block reward era, which is, like, each block reward halving era, there's been a major Bitcoin rally, and this block halving could cause a major rally all by itself, pretty much. And then we also see the stock market showing some signs of, like, weakness in the future. Like, the bond yield curve has inverted. We talked about that a lot on a recent show. So the stock market might be crashing around the time the block halving is happening, and that would be, like, a really perfect recipe for Bitcoin to rally. So Bitmain says they're getting ready with the newest technology, the 7-nanometer chips. And what does 7-nanometer mean? Well, that's the transistor size. And the smaller the transistor, the more processing power there is. And 7-nanometer is pretty much, like, the absolute cutting edge of transistors right now. So the Bitcoin mining industry has been on, like, the cutting edge of computing because there's a big demand for the most powerful processing speeds in order to make the most money from mining. So Bitcoin mining is right on that cutting edge. And actually, 5-nanometers would be next, but there's something called quantum tunneling. Basically, when you get down to the quantum level, particles kind of, like, teleport through physical barriers. So once these chips start getting so small, 7-nanometers is right above the quantum tunneling limit, pretty much, where it's still safe. But if they were to go to 5-nanometers, they need, like, new technology. Because for 5-nanometers, there would be quantum tunneling through the gate oxide layer. Like, literally, particles would be going through the gate oxide layer in the chip. And if you have quantum tunneling, that can make the entire chip, like, totally useless, pretty much. Because these chips depend on, like, electrons being in a certain state of, like, one state or another. It's, like, binary, like, 0 or 1. And if, like, quantum tunneling happens, then you get a 1 instead of a 0, and the whole chip fails, and the whole computer's inaccurate. So they're going to need new technology to go to 5-nanometer. I have no doubt they will get to 5-nanometer, and Bitmain will probably do it eventually sometime in the future, but it might take a lot longer now to start to decrease the transistor sizes. Like, we've been seeing a rapid progression in the Bitcoin mining industry with smaller and smaller transistors, but now it's probably going to start taking a lot longer to make smaller transistors because of quantum tunneling. So 7-nanometer is probably going to be the best chip for a long time. Moving on to the next story. So here's a story that will probably make a lot of blockchain developers crazy. So Craig Wright, who claims to be Satoshi, but everyone calls him Fake Toshi. Well, not everyone, but he didn't release any firm evidence that he's Satoshi. But he keeps saying he's Satoshi. Like, every month or so, he says he's Satoshi and causes, like, a bit of a fight on the internet. He won't actually put out the evidence, though, that he's Satoshi, so they call him Fake Toshi. Well, he's been very busy. Regardless if he's Satoshi or not, he is really smart. and he's been making lots of blockchain-related patents. And that's his thing. He just makes patent after patent after patent, trying to patent as much blockchain technology as he can. And now he's getting a lawyer. That's the news. He's getting a lawyer to defend his patents. And what does this really mean? This means that if someone out there is producing their own blockchain technology and they stumble upon something, if Craig Wright had already did it and they didn't even know about it, and Craig Wright had the patent, this person, like this other developer somewhere else, could release their blockchain technology and then find themselves in a lawsuit with Craig Wright and Enchain. Enchain is Craig Wright's like company, pretty much, that produces like blockchain patents. They also like made Bitcoin SV, which was like a big fight that hurt the whole Bitcoin market and the crypto market when Bitcoin crashed in November. That was when Bitcoin SV was released, because there was a tremendous fight. It looked really bad. Back to this news story. It might upset a lot of blockchain developers that anyone is trying to hog up all the patents and all the ideas, pretty much, because it would really limit freedom to do things in the crypto space and the blockchain space. I personally don't see the point of getting a bunch of patents and then defending them with a lawyer. If someone really cares about blockchain and crypto, they wouldn't try to stifle development. That being said, to be fair and give the benefit of the doubt, Craig Wright has not sued anyone yet for violating his patents. But in the case that someone develops their own technology and then it happens to be similar to Craig Wright's technology enough, similar enough to cause a patent battle in the courts, that would be a very bad case, and that would probably cause a huge fight on the internet. But that hasn't happened yet. But anyways, blockchain developers just reading the story about Craig Wright patenting tons of things and then getting a lawyer, that might just drive them crazy. So that's good to know about. So that's all I have for you today on this March 29th, 2019 edition of the Crypto.IQ Daily Radio Show. Come back tomorrow for another exciting episode, and go to Crypto.IQ for the most interesting stories in the Bitcoin and crypto space. Also join the Crypto.IQ trading desk. They made 314% profit since July, despite the worst of the bear market occurring during that time. And if you join the Crypto.IQ trading desk, you can see their trades in real time, and they have a full trade analysis with each trade. And you can ask them as many questions as you want in real time, and they'll answer all of your questions. So joining the Crypto.IQ trading desk is the best way to become an expert cryptocurrency trader. And if you join, there's actually a 2-week free trial, so there's no risk to join, and I'm sure you're going to love it. This is your host, Space Marine, signing out. I remain in space.